You're listening to Within Our Reach, a podcast by Reachability Association that focuses on accessibility, inclusion, and leveling the playing field at work and in your community. My name is Shelley Allward McLeod, and my co-host is Blake Hunsley. And today, we're joined by Reachability's One Step Closer facilitator, Colette Williams. In today's episode, we'll be focusing our conversation around an article entitled, Work in the Era of No Retirement, which appeared in the March 2022 edition of Harvard Business Review. A link to the article will be included in the show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Thanks for that introduction, Shelley, and welcome to our guest, Colette. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay. Oh, well, about me. Let's see. I am a mom. I am a grandmother. Mm-hmm. I am an employee. I am a human on this earth. I am a daughter, a sister, a friend, and I enjoy life. I enjoy everything it has to offer, and I'm going to take advantage of all of that.
That's a good self-description. I like that. That's very nice. All right, perfect. Now, we're really happy to have you here today. As Tova talked about in the introduction, today's article is all about work in the age of retirement. Mm-hmm. So, and it focuses heavily on ageism, so I did clear this question before we started. I'm allowed to ask everybody's age. So I'll start. I'm 43.
Okay. I'm 62. Okay. Well, sorry, no. I'll be 62 in August.
There you go.
Well, she's owning it already.
In the month of August, because I do celebrate birthday month.
Okay. Sounds like I'm 61 in 9 months. Very cute.
What? We're in August.
4th.
August 2nd. All right, Leo's here in the house. I am 66.
Okay, great. Well, since we're talking about work in the age of retirement, and you are working.
I am.
Yes. First question, because the article does really differentiate between people who are returning to work because they have to return to work because of economic circumstances, and people who are returning to work or staying in the workforce after an age that might be traditionally the retirement age because they want to be in the workforce. Where would you put yourself on that sort of spectrum?
Yeah, fair question. I am working because I love to work.
Okay.
I love to keep busy. So the thing is, if I can go back, I was a stay-at-home mom for many years. And that was my absolute joy. Mm-hmm. But during that time, you want to get out a little more. And there's that whole conversation, I want to speak with an adult, please, at some point. So I became a fitness instructor and did that sort of as a side gig, as they say now, right? Because I could control my days. So fast forward, my children grow up. I get them out the door, get them educated, get them on their way. And now there's me and my spouse. Okay, now what? And I felt the need, to be needed in a different way.
Okay.
Right? My children need me, my family needs me, and I treasure that. But I believe that I have so much more to offer. Mm-hmm. And my confidence is built through the years. My experiences have built through the years. And it was a little bit of me wanting to get out there for me, but me wanting to share that too.
Mm-hmm. So how long had you been out of the workforce when you returned to work outside the home?
Right. So other than the fitness pieces I did, and that was sporadic, it would be, oh my gosh, Blake, very easily probably 30 years.
Okay.
And then what I did, I actually started volunteering. You're taking me down my path now. I had applied for a job because I wanted to work, and it was at a museum at home in our area. The very week I did that, I had also applied to work at another place, which was suggested to me by my daughter who volunteered. I volunteered with them. A job came up. They contacted me, which was kind of neat. So I volunteered with them. Mm-hmm. It was Community Justice Society, if I can say that, as a caseworker and a facilitator. And I went in, they invited me in after my volunteering. So they saw something, said, there's a job here. You need to come in and apply. And I did, and they hired me. So I did do that after being out all that time as a stay-at-home mom. So we'll say 25 years. I did that for like 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then I left again, and it was a number of years again, probably 10 years out when I saw this job.
Okay.
And decided to go back. But yeah, my love, I always sort of directed myself toward working with people,
yeah,
or helping people how I could. It's always been my joy, and that goes back to when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I said that I recognized that I was very involved in sports. Mm-hmm. I played varsity, basketball, volleyball. Every year, I wasn't the best player, there's no doubt about it, but I was on the first string. Every year at our awards banquet, I won team player of the year. And I remember saying to him, Coach, what does this even mean? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you kind of make sure everybody's doing okay as a teenager. Mm-hmm. So through my years, that's where I fit. But yeah, it led me to where I am today. And I just believe that all of that experience and that love and that growth allows me to do my job really, really well. And something probably that I couldn't have touted as a younger person, because mm-hmm. it sounds like boasting, I'm owning it. Mm-hmm. I'm good at what I do, right? And but I'm always ready to learn more too.
Right. This segment today is quite interesting, because it's very different, the era, because at your age, previous, let's go back 15, 20, I don't even know how many years, yes. right? And still in many retirement policies, like pension plans and those kind of things, 65 is the age of retirement. Like that was the golden age. Mm-hmm. And if you work for the company for a long, long time, you could early retire at 60. Like that was like a whoo.
Right.
So you're one. I think there's different groups of the population that I'm seeing that has gone back to work later in life mm-hmm. as another chapter. Mm-hmm. Right, because the kids have grown up and so forth, and they may or may not even be working in the area for which they might be educated for. They may be using their lived experience, but they're now doing something they're passionate about because they can. Right. Yes. Then there's I'm going to talk about, in my case, I've been working all the time, mm-hmm. and I'm 61 and 9 months. And the pandemic kind of threw a bit of a hiccup, because I could retire, like I mm-hmm. have the mm-hmm. means, yeah. But it shone a bit of a different light for me, because during that time when people had to stay home and we weren't allowed to go anywhere, now I was fortunate enough to be able to continue working from home, but I was about to retire. Mm-hmm. I would have been retired at the end of the pandemic, mm-hmm. but that led me to be like, oh my goodness, I can't stay home. Like if I had to stay in my house and didn't see anybody and wasn't involved in anything.
Right.
So it made me change my business model. So for the next few years, like I cut out doing certain things and I only work certain days of the week. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would call, some people would call that semi-retired. I don't call it semi-retired. I call it that I'm selectively picking, because semi-retired means I'm sitting at home with my feet up and I'm working.
It sounds like you've got one foot out the door.
Right. I certainly don't have one foot out the door. But then right. there's a whole group of individuals that I'm maybe a hybrid. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're working because you want to work. I'm maybe a bit of a hybrid. And then there's the people who are working, have had to come back into the workplace even.
Yes.
Because they have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's made a very different demographic, right? At our age, and I feel comfortable saying that, since we're born in the same month and all is very similar in age. Mm-hmm. There's often that term ageism,
right?
That's used, because we talk about, well, in our generation, right? In our generation, we did this. What has been your experience with that?
With ageism itself?
Yeah, like have you had people saying that to you? Like, you know, that, you know, you're ageist, or you don't know, like, you don't know what it's like now.
No.
Okay.
The thing is, it's interesting. the term itself or your generation does, if it comes up, it's respectful. Because it was my generation. My generation is another generation.
Correct.
That's not a bad word. It's not a dirty word. When it's done respectfully, if it's done with a, you know, a snarky attitude, I'm probably going to address it in the moment. It's generally not. It's, I think, who you surround yourself with as well, Shelley, right?
Yeah.
I have wonderful people around me of all generations. So when somebody does refer to that, they're asking a legitimate question and want the answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, I think I'm speaking on this topic. I'm trying to figure out how it's affected me in a big way. And I don't feel that it has. Now, mind you, and we talk about different types of ageism, and I was doing a little bit of research before I came in today. And there are three levels. Okay, that are addressed. So there's the micro level, which is the individual themselves. And I think it's more about how you think about yourself and how you project yourself is going to be huge,
right?
Then there's the meso level, which is the social networks, the people you bring into your circle. And then there's the macro, which is the institutional, which is where we work. So a couple of things. It took time. It takes years. It takes experience. But I am very comfortable with who I am and what I have to offer. I like myself. The next level, I have surrounded myself with the most amazing people of all generations. And that can work.
She's talking about us.
I am.
She is.
Look, Blake and I always told Blake that he is sort of the male version of me. We are different generations. But I see such similarities in us. And I love the fact that he is just open to me as an individual and a person, not an age, not coming to me, you know, to, you know, put me in my generation. He answers my questions. He's just lovely. So he's an example of the people he's an example of the people I have in my life. It's respecting who I am. And if I have a question about technology, then I go to them and ask them, and it's usually me being harder on me saying, oh, I should have known that, or I should have Googled it. And it's like, no, you're not the only one asking.
I'd love to touch on that for a second.
Go ahead.
I was laughing so hard reading this article because it's talking about the technological aspect, which does come up a lot in ageism related discussions. And it was calling it a trope and saying it's not really based in reality. And the funny part is, you do come to me with technological questions, I don't think that much more than a lot of other people in the office, but you are harder on yourself about asking those questions than say, you know, okay, we have Liv who's going to come on eventually and talk about the Gen Z perspective. Liv, I believe, is 22. You and Liv probably ask a similar amount of technological questions to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never get any of the commentary directed towards herself from Liv, which I do from you.
Right.
But the part of the article that really kind of stuck out to me, which I think describes you perfectly, is it's talking about the willingness to learn. It's like there may be a bit of a gap there, but the willingness to learn, as long as you have that, you're fine. You definitely have a willingness to learn, which is great. I have worked with people from every generation who have a technological barrier, and they do not have a willingness to learn. I don't think that has anything to do with age. If you've somehow haven't gotten those skills and are not comfortable learning them, I don't know how you function in a modern workplace at all. It doesn't matter your age. If you're coming in and saying, hey, can you show me how to do this? I may write it down and ask you two times today how to do it. But I'm like, fantastic. You're showing me the initiative and enthusiasm. You're not afraid to learn that. I think a lot of people think, you know, workers over a certain age are just afraid of technology. I think that's the real trope. I don't think that that's true at all.
I agree. I don't think that's true at all. And the other thing is when technology came out, you have to understand when it was new to us, because it was new to everybody, we were the ones saying, show me, right?
Exactly.
You were sort of, there's another age group growing up into it and assuming they know it all. That's why we ask the questions.
Oh, I'm fascinated by this because let me tell you, there's a whole different generational divide happening. Is you have people like me, and again, I'm 43. I grew up, you know, we were getting the first computers and first personal computers in our house when we were kids. It was just becoming a standard thing. Nothing was an app. Nothing was press a single button. It was always, okay, well, this is broken again. So now we're going to figure out how to make this work. You really have to dig deep in there and figure it out.
Yeah.
You have the youngest generation coming up that doesn't have that experience. That's why I use Liv as an example. I don't tend to get many tech questions from people, say, in their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. I will get them, say, from people 50 plus, mm-hmm. but especially also from people in kind of their early 20s now.
Right.
We're starting to, that cohort of people who grew up figuring out the deeper, weirder bits of technology mm-hmm. is starting to pass up through, and there's a younger generation that's coming on that does not have that.
Right, well, because they use apps mm-hmm. more than they use actual software mm-hmm. packages, yeah. right?
Which I'm realizing sounds a little ageist against young people on my own here, but this is right. just from my personal experience of what I see here in this office right. as the main port of call for technological help.
And we're allowed to say what we see.
That is just as common. Yeah, well, yeah, and that's part of it, too.
It's okay
yes.
to yeah. do that. But you're absolutely right. The other piece is, for me, having children, mm-hmm. I sure was going to know everything that came up. I mm-hmm. wanted to know how it worked, and I'm a very curious person. On another note, I'm a very capable person, and we have to, that's one of the things we have to believe about ourselves. It's okay mm-hmm. to ask. It's okay to root around a little bit and find out. The other thing is that I love working where I work at this wonderful organization with just an amazing CEO. I ask the questions, and then a new hire will come in, and I'm delighted to sort of go down and say, oh, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. So I retain that. I remember it. By golly, I'm going to. Mm-hmm. But now I can help. I can help you. You're a new hire. You may be younger than me, but I know our system. Oh, I can help you with that glitch. So it's delightful to be able to do that. But absolutely, I wanted to be aware of everything out there. Just a little anecdote. As a fitness instructor, I would go to the Mount to some of our seminars or you know, we'd have a full day of information. And I sat in this room with various ages, but a lot of younger people. And a person was giving us information on, you know, on the technology, on what was available. And he was asking questions. Well, who's on Facebook? Because Facebook was kind of thing. And two of them was like, oh, yeah. And he kept going through them. I won't go through them. Who's on Snapchat? And the hand sort of stayed down. I was going, and he sort of chuckly looked over. And I said, yeah. I have kids who live away from me. It's like, what is this about? Tell me about it. And now we can keep in touch in the moment. So I was covering everything where some were sort of stuck or mm-hmm. staying with what they needed. But the curiosity takes me further.
You were on TikTok before I was on TikTok, I think.
That's like, true. That's the other piece. Mm-hmm. Talking about the pandemic, Shelley, earlier. So at home, and it was, I remember this winter, it was a really cold winter. And again, at home thinking, what am I going to do? And I made a commitment to myself, every Monday and Friday, I'm going out my veranda, no matter what the weather. That was just a part of my shtick. And I'm going to you know, put together a TikTok. I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it was just, and I wanted to be positive. It was generally positive little moments. And so when I was going through an interview for my present day job, they mentioned, that came up. And they said, we don't know about TikTok, the two people. And I said, I can help you with that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I wanted to be aware, and I do make them, and it's quite fun.
I think if I can offer a guess here. I'm,
sure.
First of all, I'm very happy that your experiences with ageism in the workplace are negligible. That is very relieving to hear. But I think there might be two reasons from what you're saying so far today that I can kind of suspect that might be the case.
Okay.
One is your general approach that you've just really done a great job of outlining. You include people from different ages. You refuse to be pinned into certain activities that might be age specific or kept out of them. You're not letting anyone mm-hmm. anyone's preconceptions keep you out of that. But also, you started back into the workplace through volunteering first and then got a job through that.
Right.
And I think a lot of times when people are re-entering the workforce after a long time away or a certain time away and at a certain age, just the applying for a job where it's kind of a cold call sort of application, that people don't know anything about you except, you know, they can see from your dates of experience, all
yes.
your dates of education, what your age is, maybe they meet you when you come in. You went in and volunteered first.
Mm.
And I mean, ageism when it comes to volunteers is, in my personal experience, not a thing. I mean, volunteers tend to be over a certain age, and we rely on them desperately. So no one's going to be being an ageist jerk towards volunteers.
Right.
But
or they're there
you,
because they want to be
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Regardless of the age.
But
right?
that got you in the door, let
yeah.
you show them all of your expertise, your enthusiasm, your ability to engage with people of different ages. And
right.
I'm sure that was a massive help. I wonder if that's some advice that would just be good for anybody trying to reenter the workforce. It's if you're fortunate enough to be able to take it. I know we talk about people coming back away from retirement because they have to. Economically, it's not really quite such an option for them. But I'm glad you were fortunate to be able to do that.
Right.
Because I would imagine that was a huge kickstart to getting you employed.
It was. It was.
Like a soft launch sort of thing.
Yeah. And I think at that time as well, Blake, it was, I should say I dabbled in between. So my spouse has a company. So mm-hmm. I would do admin work. I was always sort of dipping in, right? Mm-hmm. Again, understanding, like learning keyboarding. I can type like anybody, where I see hunting and pecking going on for some of the younger ones, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of cute. But again, having my children, and the way that happened even, is like, you need to do something. You need to. We're human beings. We need that social interaction, many of us. And it was my daughter, she was in university. They had to volunteer. She volunteered for this community justice. And after she had started taking it, and it had to do with restorative justice, she said, "This is so Colette." Those were her words. "This is so Colette." And she told me, so I went in, and that's exactly, I got in. I ended up being a facilitator, and they saw what I could do. They saw my work. So then I ended up taking courses on it, taking more through St. Mary's. And then that was, we need to bring her in, which was delightful. So with them, I became a caseworker in restorative justice, and I became an educator with them. So I taught people from, again, all walks of life, who I was very comfortable with, all fields. And it was delightful. But you're right, that stepping through and trying to volunteer in something. And with volunteering, we can choose our passion. Like you said, Shelley, we're not assigned somewhere. Let's pick something we love to do. And if we can turn that into something more or be recognized for that, so be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shelley, we haven't really touched on your personal experience. If this is something that you've had to deal with for yourself, or I mean, in your capacity of your work. I'm really curious about that, because of one of the facts that was given in the article here too, was that it pointed out that 3 out of 5 older workers have either seen age-based discrimination, you know, obviously occurring in the workplace, or they've experienced in the workplace themselves, but only 3% of older workers have ever made a formal complaint about it. So I'm wondering, is this something that you see in your capacity as an HR professional? Do people bring this to you as a formal complaint, or are you aware that it's happening, but maybe it's not being reported the way it should be?
So this is a great, and I was thinking about that. You know, Colette's experience is, you know, very different from some people's experience. Mm-hmm. If we were also having this session, this podcast, 15 years ago, okay, I think our conversations would be very different.
Oh, agreed.
Right? Because the world, and in most cases, you know, not because there was a willingness to, because they were forced to, okay, has had to embrace the, you know, 60 plus generation, okay, to come back into the workforce, right? But yes, very much I would have experienced ageism, because I came up through, you know, the law profession for a very short period of time before I went off to work for corporations. But even that, like, there was a very much an ageism. Like, there was a specific time. You had to have so much time in, like, you were expected to be a certain age before you would become, like, a full associate before, you know, then, and you needed to be, if you were a success, right, then you needed to be on the partner track by this age, right? And then even in corporate Canada, people were already planning your retirement, you know, at 60 from an HR perspective, because I was always the head of HR and legal. Like we would get reports that, you know, Blake's coming up on his 60th birthday next year. And that was an automatic plan that we would start talking to him. About when's he planning to report, knowing that he'd be eligible with pension deficits. At 60, right? When's he going to retire? So from a succession planning point, so we're already there's no thought that you're staying past 65.
It's
right?
just an assumption.
It's an assumption whether you can afford to or not. You're and there were some huge barriers. People couldn't get insurance coverage, like, you know, like insurance carriers, for the workplaces wouldn't cover workers after 65. So you might be working full time and you were not covered, right? So a lot of those things have changed, right? Where in the workplace now, I think that for the most part, what I see is that's not like the biggest issue in life. Like yeah. We're embracing people's skill set, people's lived experiences, mm-hmm. and we're inviting them to come back and either consult with us. Mm-hmm. We're inviting mm-hmm. them. I'm hearing, and you and I were talking, you know, Blake, about some stories of people who thought they were going to retire and then retired and were like, oh, this is boring. right. I don't have anybody, oh, right? I can't right. sit home every day. And now they've gone back into the workplace to either work one day a week mm-hmm. Or to offer consulting. And they're loving it because the beauty is they go to work in the moment and then they go home and mm-hmm. they enjoy their golf or right. their knitting mm-hmm. or they're sitting with their feet up watching the, you know, soap operas. And so they don't have that same stress and all of that kind yep. of stuff. And the employer, let's not forget about the employer side, is really benefiting from that mm-hmm. because in a workplace where we're struggling to retain people, well, to get people, first off, mm-hmm. and to retain people, employers have lost, okay, a significant piece of knowledge base, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. When you have somebody who's leaving at the age of 60, okay, even if they've only worked for you for 5 years, okay, mm-hmm. you're losing probably 40 years of work experience, mm-hmm.
there it
right?
is. Yes.
And that cannot be replaced.
It can't,
right?
And there's institutional experience in that particular job too.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, people can be a manager at 18, right? Mm-hmm. Like people can have, you know, responsibilities based on their experiences. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to do it, mm-hmm. right? So I don't see myself like from an ageist in that perspective that, oh, you need to be 40 and have 20 years experience before mm-hmm. you can
right.
do this.
Yeah.
What I do see now, right, is an actual, okay, recognition, okay, by employers who 15 years ago wouldn't have had this same thought process, mm-hmm. who are saying, oh my goodness, right? What can we do? We need to start talking to Blake to make sure he's not going to retire. Like, what can
or
we
not
do?
Not fully retire.
Not fully retire. Yeah. What can we do to encourage him if he wants to retire? Can he come back one day a week? Can he offer us some consulting services? Mm-hmm. Because his skill set in the area of podcasting, you know, is going to be a deficiency for us, mm-hmm. right? So I think we've come a long way. I think there's a ways to go. But if you were to ask me where the way to go, what we're still deficient in, I think it's more some of the big, and I don't really know what to call that, but I think our federal, provincial, okay, and let's call it insurance programs, mm-hmm. okay, haven't caught up with
right.
what's yeah. happening in the real world.
Yeah.
Because there's still some mandatory retirements, or there's still mm-hmm. some, while they've extended benefit, you know, cutoff period, like, now they're still saying that at 72, in some cases, the person, you know, can't be covered anymore by mm-hmm. by benefits, right?
I think too,
and that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I think too, there is just an assumption that at 65, let's say,
right.
everybody, and again, using air quotes on an audio podcast is my favorite thing, I apologize, but everybody wants to retire.
Right.
And like you were saying, the amount of people that I know that have retired and just been miserable for 6 to 9 months before going partially back to work, finding a whole new career, maybe a part-time career.
Correct.
The only downside I've seen, because you're right, it works for that person. It really works for the company. I mean, we saw during COVID how much knowledge just in the medical field that we needed to bring
Correct.
Back in. It was
mm-hmm.
like, no, we
Absolutely.
Need you, come back. The only downside I've seen, and it's very unfortunate, is I've seen ageism bubble up from the younger people trying to get into certain sectors of work because people aren't leaving when these people consider it their time to get out. And I'm going to talk about teaching in particular, because we talked before the show. Mm-hmm. My dad was a teacher for 40 odd years, and then he retired, got very bored, and then went back into substituting.
Yeah.
Really, really loved it. Did he need to be working financially at that point? Not necessarily. He wasn't going back to work full time. It was more because it was something he enjoyed. He was getting all kinds of other value from it.
Right.
And I was telling this story to a friend of mine one day who I knew was an education graduate, and he was livid because he was in his early to mid 20s, and he was the last on the list to call for substitutes because they wanted all of these people with all these years of experience. Mm-hmm. And so jobs were tight in this sector. Mm-hmm. And this was, in this person's eyes, making the problem even worse. So that's my only concern, is that it works for almost everybody, but does it potentially exacerbate ageism among the younger cohort coming in?
I'm gonna call like BS on that,
okay.
Right?
I love when you do this. Good. That, we can swear on this podcast too, by the way. That, that's something we can
do. Well, I just used the nerd. It could talk about brilliant, you know, success, right?
There we go.
It could
yes.
have been what BS meant.
Brilliant substances.
That, in fact, right, you use teachers, so I'm going to call that like.
My dad will be thrilled with this, by the way.
There
so please,
are,
go.
Okay. If there's people on a long list of substitutes, right, that's because it's their choice. Mm-hmm. In this province, in Nova Scotia, there are significant, right, holes, okay, where there's full-time positions, right? The person just needs to remove themselves from their current space of living, okay, and move to another part of the province, right? So
1,000%. This was someone trying to teach in HRM, obviously.
Exactly. So there's people who put...
You're good.
There's people who put parameters around what they want. So I will have to say, I work with employers in across all different, you know, not-for-profit agencies through to huge corporations, through to small family-run businesses. Mm-hmm. I don't see, and I've not heard, okay, where people are saying, well, I don't think I'm getting a job because they're keeping their old people, mm-hmm. right?
You think it's an excuse from somebody who doesn't necessarily have the requisite skills they need.
Yeah, they could.
Not even experience so much as potentially just their skills.
I want to play a bit on, you know, on Colette's experience in the fact that she's self-aware of, like, what can she do, her and doing some volunteer experience so she'd be a known quantity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have grandiose expectations. Right?
Yes, like
when,
very true.
When I, you know, graduated from university, after going to university for 8 years, right, you might think that I had a lot of smarts. I had a lot of textbook smarts. I was still life stupid, okay? And that I didn't come out of university thinking that I was going to be the CEO of the organization mm-hmm. the next day. And I think it's, and I'm, you know, I'm swinging the pendulum both ways, right, for more of an exaggeration piece. But I do see many people who come in because I get asked to sit on hiring committees. Mm-hmm. And I have people tell me that, well, I'm expecting this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm looking at the resume. Have I missed a page?
Yeah.
Right? Because you are 1 minute out of university.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. You haven't even worked, because that's the other thing. We're seeing a lot of graduates of university, right? And their first job ever is going to be their real life job, like, that they're looking for. So they have literally no experience. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I'm calling a little BS mm-hmm. on that. Like, I there's lots of work out there. There's lots of ways to get work. I think this, you know, the piece of this no retirement is more the barriers from insurance, mm-hmm. getting dinged by, you know, CPP, like some of those kind of things, getting dinged by your pension because you have to take it. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to roll over at like 70 or 72. So then you get dinged if I'm going to be working. And who decided at age 65, mm-hmm. okay, that I no longer have the cognitive ability, mm-hmm. right? Or that I'm a risk on your health insurance, or that my brain power is going to, maybe.
Or that you just have no interest in working because, mm-hmm. sorry, your retirement right. age, that must be what you want.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. that's my mic drop. I literally did drop my mic, but I wasn't at the end of my speech. And I'm sorry for going on and ranting a bit about that, but I do think that, and this is the beauty of having these conversations is, I mean, it's obviously my opinion, but I'm seeing a lot of this, and we're hearing from, Colette, that's not her experience mm-hmm. at all either, right?
Right.
Well, you bring up something interesting too, because from what you're saying, it sounds like this person is picking up ageism as a lazy, easy excuse for what's happening in their job prospects right now, which, yeah, it kind of felt like that at the time, to be totally honest with you. But it does lead into one of the things that this article talked a lot about, was that ageism is the last acceptable ism to casually pick up like that. You know, why do you think that is? Because I would argue that that is true based on my experience of seeing people not at Reachability, I'm going to preface this, in past jobs where there's been, people dropping off resumes for a position that really does not need to be filled by someone in their 20s. There's absolutely no physical barriers, no nothing. It could be a job filled by anyone. It's an entry-level job, per se. And someone will come in who's, say, 63, 64 with an application, and you'll see the eye rolls, and you'll see them quietly just put it at the very bottom of the pile. Whereas I like to think that at this day and age, you would not see someone come in who's, say, someone from a racialized community, you wouldn't see them so casually and openly toss that resume on the bottom of the pile. In Nova Scotia, I would love to pretend that we wouldn't see that, but I certainly have seen it. But ageism really just seems to be, in that respect, seems to be blatant and casual to me still. And I don't know is that something that you think I'm wrong on, or do you think that it is still the last sort of casually acceptable ism?
Absolutely. I think there's people out there who are doing that, like that. Absolutely rolling their eyes, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, 63, like, what are they coming back into the world? What are they going to work for me for 2 years? Okay, mm-hmm. But those are also still the same people, okay, that are marginalizing people, are looking at somebody with a disability, okay, and saying, well, they can't work here, right? Mm-hmm. They have, they're in a wheelchair, they can't do anything for me, mm-hmm. right? Or they, right, I think that's a whole other conversation about those particular employers.
You think it's a red flag for bigger issues?
I think tends to be what we hear. Hmm. From an ageism, when we say the last acceptable ageism, in my practice, right, the only complaints I get are not about the employer per se. It's not about the employer didn't hire me. It's more about I'm going to get cut off of my benefits. I'm going to get... Right. So it's more of a human rights.
It's the systemic issues that are in place.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Something that the employer actually can't control because they've got these other things, mm-hmm. okay, institutions telling them, well, we can't insure you. We won't insure you. Right. Yeah. So that piece, I believe, is correct for that reason. Not because I don't think people are hiring. I think there's, as I said, I think there's been a really big turn. The pandemic, one of the really, good things coming out of the pandemic is employers who had their eyes shut, mm-hmm. okay, had their eyes open and had to go to some of these creative measures, calling retired nurses to come back and work, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? And it's been successful, calling retired people to come back mm-hmm. to work.
And the interesting thing, just so much was said, and my head is just, I just want to jump in. Your first conversation, the first question about this young person and your father going back to work, my thought was, and Shelley covered it beautifully, was an older person would figure it out. Mm. If there's something in front of us, we're not going to complain. We're going to figure it out, right? And make that move. Do we need to move? What do we need to do? Mm. So there's that difference. We're not going to blame. We're not going to pick an ism up mm-hmm. and run with it. The other thing is you just sort of tossed in there, what's that person going to work with me for 2 years? All right, so they work with you for 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
Doesn't guarantee.
Where's the assumption that someone 25 is going to stay even 2 years?
Exactly.
My God, nobody stays at a job anymore.
That's my point.
It might be there, you know, they're going to jump through. Yeah. And the other thing is, what the government of Canada, we have lower birth rates since the 70s. So we've got a, you know, people aren't having as many babies or none at all. That's a choice now, which, again, women's movements in the past have brought us to this, to be able to make those choices. And Canadians are living longer. And this is according to the government of Canada. The gains in the last decades have been particularly remarkable. Factors such as improved living conditions, better hygiene, preventive health care, and medical advances partly explain the rise in life expectancy. But the thing is, we are living, we're living longer, we're living healthier, we're more vibrant, and we do have that to offer. And for those places that roll their eyes, Blake, there will always be those places.
Absolutely.
There will always be those
And they'll
those
always
people.
Find a reason to roll their eyes at someone, whether it's age, whether no matter what it is.
And wonder why things aren't going their way.
And honestly, those employers would probably roll their eyes at someone coming in who was, you know, too young in their
eyes. Of course.
Just the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we are going to do a future episode on, where we're going to speak to, we talked about this earlier, we're going to speak with a couple people who are in the Generation Z, Generation Z, whatever you want to call it, cohort. Because I do still hear casual ageism directed against younger employees.
I'm sure.
As well.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
That has to be there.
I think that's probably more prevalent than ageism at
Honestly, in my own experience, 1,000% true.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because people are more willing to say that part loud because they feel less bad about it. I don't know, but ageism, I don't want to say it strikes me as funny, but I'll get to why it strikes me as funny here, is the same reason that we talk a lot about here about people who are uncomfortable with people living with disability. We're like, if you are lucky, you will have a disability one day, because that means you have lived long enough. We say everybody either has had, or will have a disability.
Correct.
Ageism is equally hilarious. If you are lucky, you will live long enough to be the recipient of some ageism.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming for us all. Why would you indulge in this when there, if you are lucky, is where you are headed, is to be the recipient.
And you're so right. And jumping into that, just going back to TikTok, which has sort of started out with the kids. And it's delightful to see, because I'm still on it. I still enjoy it because lots of lovely things and conversations come up. But somebody might be throwing a dig at someone. Let's say there's a creator who's a mature creator. And the comment might be, you're old. And I had commented on something once, and this was on Twitter, actually, which I'm not on anymore for various reasons. Anyway, it was there, and I was making a comment about something. It was like, well, that comment came up, and I thought, I guess it was based on, I put my picture up, and I went back and I said, aren't I lucky? And I left it at that. And then we actually started a lovely engagement back and forth, because she was, it came down to her having difficulties as a mom with children. I started chatting with her about it and giving ideas. But the thing is, we don't get as upset, and I hope we continue along the way. But be clear, aren't I lucky to be the age I am? Not everybody has that gift.
Right.
And not everybody has, you know, the lovely experiences that we have in life at reaching this age. So I think we are starting to own it. I think that the changes are happening. I hear you, Shelley, talking about the mechanics behind it, the insurance pieces and that I didn't even really think
about.
No,
I'll be honest, that wasn't something I had ever encountered before.
I hope
before.
They
That's
catch
really
up. I hope. I always believe for every cause, there are some that I'm really good at. There are some I'm staying away from and saying, you've got this.
Yeah.
I hope there are people like you who are saying, we're fighting for this change. I don't know where to begin with that, but I believe there are people out there doing it, and I hope so.
Yes, there are. And I think that's part of why, you know, doing some of these things, that we have misconceptions or just lack of information on what's happening. So that's probably more facing the generation. I'm eager to talk to the Gen Zs.
I'm looking forward to this, too.
I have more concerns about that and, you know, how they're treated. Younger age, where, you know, my, you know, nephew will say to me, Oh, yes. Let me guess. When you were walking to school, holding on to the telephone line, right? So, of course, I exaggerate that up really
well.
Your turn to mic drop.
No, we walked up the hill. Well, and it was our parents doing this. It's like walk to school uphill both ways.
But this is the awful part about TikTok, is if you're over 30 is the bar on TikTok, where when you walk to school through the snow both ways. I'm like, I'm so far past the line.
It's delightful to watch.
TikTok can be eye-opening, that is for sure.
But age is all in the eye of the beholder, because when I just think about it, I just heard this story. I sit on another board, and the CEO is telling us that she was into, you know, one of the clubs talking to, you know, one of the little kids who was 6 or 7 years old, and something came up about age, and she said, well, how old do you think I am? And, you know, the CEO would
dangerous be, question to ask a kid. Right?
The CEO would be 40 if she's a date. Yeah. The CEO said, I don't know, like 65.
Yep.
So it's perception, because when you're six, mm-hmm. any you're just striving.
Anything over 20 is a senior citizen.
You're just striving to get to be seven.
Well, yeah, exactly. I could say we've got like, Liv is actually 24. A little one, they're going to year old. I remember thinking to my teachers, I remember being in certain, you know, grades and thinking, well, they're older. And then realizing, oh my gosh, you know, they weren't. But it is. It's all about perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we can kind of change that with our energy. Yes, we're going to own our ages. And actually, a lot of people in the media world, where there are more women who have their talk shows and, you know, are out there more as anchors and are owning their ages, because it's, again, it's not a dirty word.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
My dear sweet friend who is a little bit older than me, who let her own it. Also, I'm up. You own it. You don't have to tell anybody anything. Right.
Well, and I think the you know, something that we said here is that there's always going to be, you know, people who agree or disagree, and to each their own. But I personally am very much like you. Like, I am thankful every day, okay, that I wake up, mm-hmm. right? Because it's another day to get to experience something. It's mm-hmm. another day to get to purchase another pair of, Nike Jordan shoes.
Very nice sneakers.
I must say, I only started collecting when I was 60.
Amazing.
I started becoming a sneakerhead. And I learned that as a title. I embrace that. That's something that some people look at and go, really?
Which is another delightful form of ageism.
Right. Yes,
sorry,
it is. Right.
We're gatekeeping our own generation from enjoying something for the youth.
Right.
Extra silly.
I'm excited that I have the confidence, mm-hmm. right? And that was something that, you know, Colette talked about is, I have the confidence, okay, in myself. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be alive. I'm grateful, like, to one of your points that you brought up, like, that I'm still alive at 61 and 9 mm-hmm. months, and I'm getting to experience all
age
of these.
Age is just a things. High score. You're still in the game. Congratulations.
Still in the game.
Still
and
going
we're
up.
Active,
that's a win.
And we move, and, you know, we go on out there. And when you talk about getting your Nikes and that you were a sneakerhead.
Yeah, sneakerhead is a term.
I didn't know that.
Right?
But also with what we wear, you know, as I said, it's changed. Once upon a time and through the decades, it was like, this is your outfit. This is your hairstyle. We talked about mm-hmm. the Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness that has changed, that I can wear a messy bun and my jeans at my age and own it. But there's the thing. We have to own what you're wearing. Wear it with confidence and own it.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to power through beautifully. Nobody's going to question that. And if they do, I mean, there's the other
but
thing.
That's right back to I think, why you haven't had to deal with much ageist nonsense personally. Is because you do have that confidence and that openness with engaging people,
exactly.
I think. And that sounds like I'm blaming the recipients of ageism for the ageism that they're encountering. No, because if that person who I was talking about earlier who wasn't getting into the teaching field had that confidence in their own skills, they wouldn't be taking the lazy route to blame it on people retiring
and,
either.
And I believe there is ageism. I think it's pointed at some specific things. But we talk a lot on... you know, these shows about self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
right? And I think that's key here as well. Like, if you're aware of yourself, of your needs, of your abilities, right, what you can do, okay, that brings you a level of confidence, right? And you probably show up, okay, in a very different than a person who has the whole negative attitude, okay, or the defeatist attitude, perceived or real, right? And, you know, because that is also true, right? In this world of social media, right? People's opinions aren't always their own. People's their opinions have become what they've read on social media, right? And, you know, that's a perception, right? That's not always true. So I've just put that out there. I think that, you know, from an ageism point of view, I think, you know, we're doing a much better job than we have been doing. And there's still some bureaucratic or political or, you know, institutional, if you will, things that are in the way that we need to improve for everybody. And because, again, according to the birth rates, okay, it's going to be even more important that we keep people in the workplace longer or invite people to come back. And we need to do so that there aren't the barriers of, well, that pension that or that money that you worked so hard to save, you're going to lose all that if you come back to work, right? Like, one hand taketh away from the other. So I think there's some things that we need to change. But I'm very excited to continue this conversation with the, you know, the Gen Z, the Gen Y, like their perception on ageism, because I would like to, I would like to ferret out some of that.
I'm legitimately curious, and I can't wait to find out if the youngest coworkers among us are the ones experiencing more obvious ageism right now. Which, on the one hand, I'm like, well, yay, we've made progressive change on one end, but on the other hand, oh no, we've just lumped it over onto the other end of the spectrum.
Exactly, and I think that that's going to be a great conversation, very eye-opening.
And honestly, social change going two steps forward, one step back sounds about right too, so,
well,
not right, just normal.
Well, it kind of is normal, because, you know, you can't, every change, always has some consequence. Positive for some, neutral for some, and negative for some, because not everything's 100% perfect.
Nope. And next time, I think we're going to have to air that one after this, because I'm fascinated about this, how these are going to stack up against each other. So
we get excited about one
of
our topics.
We're not even done this episode. We're excited
now,
for the next.
Right now, Shelly, we are feeling the power.
Exactly.
It feels good.
And I just, you know, I did think, like, you know, in closing before you, we thank Colette for being here. It, you know, it really is too bad that we're not on video, because we are talking about ageism and, you know, like our generation. And clearly we've said our age, but we look 35.
Absolutely.
Oh, I look my age. I'm just incredibly handsome. On that note of abject honesty,
we're not closing.
I'll be okay if you cut that part.
Never, not a chance.
I just want to add one more thing.
Sure,
we are not closing without saying why we should hire older, skilled workers. Right,
drive it home.
So here it is. Number one. So here's from the Government of Canada. There's a need to increase the labor for the labor market with older adults to support businesses, economic growth, and continued improvement in Canada's standard of living. That's from the government itself. And what do we get when we hire someone, right, who's older? Universally, they found that older workers bring a level of experience, critical thinking, and sheer knowledge that cannot be taught.
The last little extra, because it was from the article that we based this on today, and I completely forgot to mention it earlier too, is just in terms of marketing. Marketing agents have always focused on, you know, the 18 to 25 demographic because it's been such a key economic generator. But now you need to market to people over 65 because that is the biggest cohort. And you cannot do that without people in the room who can tell you what those people want.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. That's Perfect. That's a wonderful example to have someone there.
You're missing the boat if you're not marketing to those individuals. Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you can tell a company, no, it's skip your altruism. It comes down to money. They will always jump on board so fast.
Of course.
I don't care. I say it all the time. I don't care why you're jumping on the board to do something good. Just come on board. If it's because it's making you money, great.
Right. Exactly. The other thing that people notice in companies as well, older workers, and it might be that we are more aware, and you're right. Maybe I do, when I have to ask you for... to explain something to me and I get angry with myself. We are aware also of our age. Mm-hmm. We are. But it's like older workers will show up earlier, stay later if they need to, but we're going to work-life balance is a thing that I am embracing. But they will show up. They will really dive in and work their full day. You're going to get the most from these people.
I'm going to tell you, though, and we'll talk about this on the youth episode. Oops. In my experience, the youth do, too. And
do
I
they?
Think that is yes. one of the I think that's one of the ageist things that gets kind of shoved against there and then, the age spectrum.
Then those too. Studies are going to be great to look at.
Yeah. I'm excited about this.
Yeah,
all right, perfect.
It is.
Well, Colette, thank you for joining us. If you listen to our episode we do with the Gen Zs and you vehemently disagree with everything they have to say about ageism in the workplace, we'll just have you back
in.
For a second time where you can write us some viewer mail. Our listeners, thank you for joining us as well. If you have ideas for future episodes, if you would like to join us here at the Reachability office to record a future episode, or if you vehemently disagree with something we've said on today's episode, or kindly agree, we'd be happy to hear from you either way. Colette, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a delight. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Within Our Reach. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. If you have an idea for an episode topic you'd like us to cover, or if you'd like to join us as a guest on the podcast, reach out to us at withinourreach@reachability.org.